preseason game on Friday night. Expectations are high. How fitting that I'm going to preach about expectation. Amen. For the month of August, believing God. Amen. Living in a spirit of expectancy. You know, it's hard to do that in the world that we are living in. The darker the world becomes, the harder it is to live in a spirit of expectancy. And I mean, of course, all of us, I'm sure, have seen the news, you know, another mass killing. And actually, there were two. I was reading an article that this makes 251 mass shootings for the year. And reminds me of what the Bible says, that in the last day, it'll be just like the days of Noah. Right? Go back to the book of Genesis, said that the earth was filled with violence. And, you know, we got to put our hope in Christ. Amen? But the darker the world becomes, the harder it is to live in a spirit of expectancy. But I believe that we can thrive in a spirit of expectancy if we have a vision of Christ working in us and through us. Because it's all about Jesus. See, expectancy is the evidence of faith. In Psalms 18:6, David declared, he said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." He said, "I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. My cry came before him, even to his ears." And then the next verse says, "Then the earth shook and trembled." When God's presence invades your situation, things happen. That's what expectancy is all about. Amen. So today I want to give you in this first message in this sermon series, I've entitled this sermon today, Expectation Based Upon Promise. If you don't know this verse, you need to know it, and I'm going to give it to you today. It's a very short statement. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, and it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, through the glory of God," or "to the glory of God through us." It's all in Jesus. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. He goes on in verse 21 and he says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." All right, so just in that small passage of God's eternal word, he tells us that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, and that the glory of God flows through believers. And then he says, "We are established together in the person of Christ, and we are anointed by God." I mean, all of that comes out of just this passage. That's why I always like to say, I know it's a little cliche, but I love it anyway. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. It's a cliche, but I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe it's rooted in the Word of God, because we find so right here. If you're a born-again child of God, there is an anointing on your life. See, that's why expectation is based upon promise. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because we must have a basis of the promise. So I'm going to give you five areas here, five things to consider. The first one is this. Expectation means to wait for something. Miss Becky's waiting for that Hawaiian vacation. She's been waiting a long time. She hadn't got it yet, but I believe she needs to keep waiting. Expecting. That's right. It's going to happen all the way to Hawaii. That's expectation. Something good is going to happen. See, in the midst of all the darkness, it's hard to live that way. That's why we have to go to the Word of God, because expectation is based upon promise. All right, so I'll take you to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we find that on the day of Pentecost, they're all assembled together, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And the Bible says that they were all filled. A sound from heaven and a rushing wind filled the house, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, but then if we back up into Acts chapter 1, we find the basis of what they received. Because they received from God. And what they received was based upon a promise. Are y'all with me? Because expectation is based upon promise. So we have that incredible experience in Acts 2, which ushered in the age of the church, or we could say the age of the Holy Spirit. But they were waiting. And you know, I have to believe there were so many that got tired of waiting. And I believe they left. Do you know that Jesus instructed, the Bible says, over 500 believers to go into that house and to wait for the promise of the Father? But only 120, says that's what's recorded, only 120 got filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened to the other 500 and something? You know, I believe many of them just didn't even go. I believe some of them didn't even stay until the end. So they missed out on the blessing because the promise was there. But sometimes it's hard to wait. See, expectation means to wait for something. All right, now check this out. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says being assembled together with the apostles, with the disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Do y'all see it? To wait for the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. He said, you have heard it from me. It was the promise of the Father. It's so difficult to wait. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to wait for our food. If it takes too long, we get mad, upset, demand a discount, give it to me free, right? I love this. I've shared this story before. A good friend of mine, the Lord had to really work on him in patience. He had so much trouble with his cell phone. So he goes into the cell phone company, and just in his experience, he just blew a gasket. How many of you have ever blown a gasket? Some of y'all are ready to admit that, huh? The others are saying, no, I don't know where this is going, so I'm just going to. Holy Spirit said, just stay neutral. So he just, you know, everybody has a tipping point, right? And he just blew a gasket and began to just, you know, scream and yell and fuss at the people. And he had a ringtone on his cell phone. So somebody called him on the cell phone. Must have been the Lord. Because the cell phone rang with that ringtone. When you call on Jesus. I love this. He said he went out, went to his truck. He sat there, and he said, I got so convicted. He said it was the ringtone that really did it. He said, I had to go back in there, and I had to apologize. Hey, that's a good thing. At least he had the maturity to do that, right? But we don't like to wait. Things upset us. If we want to buy something, I don't want to wait for it. I'll just pull out the credit card. Buy it on time. You know, buy now, pay later. Worry about it later, right? I mean, we can get ourselves into those kind of situations because we don't like to wait. But expectation means that we must wait for something. Now, I want you to notice that word wait in Acts 1:4 because there are actually five different Greek words for this English word, wait. Five different Greek words. Now, they have similar meaning, but I have them on the outline for you today. So this is what the word wait means in these various Greek words. First of all, it means to wait patiently and anticipate in advance. How many of y'all remember the Heinz ketchup commercial? They turned that bottle upside down. I went, when we had our men's fishing thing, I had to stop at a store in the grocery list. I forgot to get ketchup. I think it was ketchup. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was mayonnaise. But anyway, I had a bottle of ketchup, and when I went to squirt that ketchup out, it just water came out. And I was like, then it made me think of the Heinz commercial. They used to turn that bottle upside down, and then they'd start playing that, I think it was a Carly Simon song, Anticipation. Some of y'all old enough, you might remember the young people saying, who's that? Carly Simon. Well, you can Google search it, and you'll find out who it is. Or Gurgle search it. Google search it. Y'all still with me? I just got a new truck. I haven't bought a truck in 11 years. I've had a truck for so long, and I finally, you know, said, well, I guess it's time. And my truck had a lot of miles on it, and was starting to have a lot of problems. So I get this new truck, and man, I'm in amazement of how high-tech things are today. You know, and it's like, man, you need a computer programming course just to drive these things now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about with these vehicles, right? And I mean, then they're going to have self-driving cars. I really don't know if I'm going to be able to flow with that. You know, I mean, it would be awesome to be able to do Bible study and just let the car drive itself. But I don't know. You know, the Lord is my pilot, not Toyota. So I don't know how that'll work out. You know, but man, everything is so advanced. You know, and technology is advancing, but we don't want to wait for things. But this word wait, it means to wait patiently, anticipate in advance. The second definition, it means to intensely and eagerly wait. Intensely and eagerly. See, it doesn't mean we're just hanging around somewhere for something that we think might happen. It means that we are waiting, knowing that God will fulfill his promise. Because that's what 2 Corinthians 1:12 teaches, or 1:20 teaches us. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. All right, then it means to look forward to something with open anticipation. That's why I was kidding, you know, Becky about Hawaiian vacation. You know, looking for, you know, vacations are great things. We enjoy going places, right? We look forward to it with open anticipation. You know, for us that fish, you know, the night before we go fishing, man, it's hard to sleep, Brother Daryl, right? It's hard to sleep. Daryl's son, he'll just stay up all night, Daryl. That's the kind of fisherman he is. Now, that's anticipation. That's passion, right? I mean, we love it. We're passionate about it, you know. So we are looking forward with open anticipation. Every year, man, we're pumped about the men's fishing event. We can't wait till June because we know we're going to have 4 days. They had a guy was in Hopedale. He was questioning us about you know, about our fishing thing, and he said, "So it's just all guys and no wives?" And we said, "Just all guys and no wives." He said, "Man, that is just a miracle, a blessing right there." Now we wouldn't tap into that agreement. You know, we're a lot smarter and wiser than that, right? But boy, he said, man, that's the kind of fishing trip where the wives are not there. You know, I don't know, maybe his wife made him do a lot of stuff at home. I don't know what the situation was, but I wasn't going to jump on that bandwagon. I said, my wife, she listens to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be telling her that Steve has been doing wrong. I said, I ain't jumping into that. She'll find out some way. All right, the next definition is to receive or accept something openly. To receive. I used to have a problem receiving. You know, as pastors, we're always giving, 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 giving. You know, we try to help and do all that we can. And, you know, we're constantly giving out, you know. And I used to have a problem receiving. But I still, I think, to a degree have a problem receiving. And, you know, but I've learned how to receive because I understand the principle now. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, so that's why we should always be receivers and givers. You know, never live with a closed hand mentality. You know, freely I receive, freely give. Be, you know, allow that system to work, to flow, because that's how God operates. So to receive or accept something openly, the last definition, it means to wait for, to look for, to anticipate with great expectation. So when you are talking about the promises of God, my friends, we are talking about expectation that is based upon a promise. We have something to solidify our faith, to solidify our belief system. Expectation means to wait for something. They had to wait all that time in the upper room. But all of a sudden, one day, the promise was fulfilled. Hallelujah. I love to read stories about pastors and ministries and people in churches. And I was reading a story about this woman and she was a strong believer and you know, she was always in the house of God and was a woman of prayer. She was a great woman of prayer. Her husband was just through and through alcoholic. And, you know, because of his alcoholism, he was a very violent man. And she had to endure abuse for years and years and years. But the story that I heard this pastor share, you know, the member of his church, that she just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and just believed and believed and believed. And this went on for years. Years. Now, how many of you know the longer it goes, the easier it is to throw in the towel? But she got a hold of a promise of God in his word. And she began to pray that promise. And all of a sudden, there was this big blow up. And the guy ended up getting arrested. And he was put in jail. And through all of that negativity, all of those things that he went through, is that God broke that man and brought him to a point to where he lifted his hands and he said, Jesus, whom my wife serves, I am surrendering to you. And I ask you to deliver me and set me free. And I'm here to tell you that God still does it. And he was supernaturally delivered. The bondage of alcoholism was broken. And he literally became a deacon in the church. Hallelujah. She had a promise. She got a hold of a promise. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Keep believing, my friends. Keep waiting patiently. Because expectation means to wait for something. Let me share another example with you. This is the second thing. See, it's the promises of God that produce expectation. We find this story in the Gospel of Luke. There's two people that are mentioned in this story. This is prior, right before the birth of Christ, prior to the birth of Christ. And we find two characters that are mentioned. A man by the name of Simeon and a woman by the name of Anna. And we find their story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And this is what we read. It says, in Jerusalem, I'm reading in the Message Bible. It says, in Jerusalem, at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man, listen to this description, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. Rome was ruling with an iron fist. Israel no longer was the head. They were the tail. But I believe that he understood that prophetic word in the Old Testament. When God said to the Israelites, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to make you above and not beneath. I'm going to make you the lender and not the borrower. God said that. in the book of Deuteronomy. You can go read it. I believe that Simeon got a hold of that promise. And he was living in prayerful expectation. But things were dark. That's why I say the darker the world becomes, the harder it is to live in a spirit of expectancy. That's why you got to go back to the promise. When you go back to the promise, then you don't see all of that because you're looking beyond it. I believe that Simeon was in that kind of mentality. It says he lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. Then it says Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow 84 years. Now think about this woman. All right, so we're not told what happened to her husband. He died, maybe got sick, maybe some kind of accident. We're really not told. But she was only married 7 years. For whatever reason, she didn't remarry. That's why I say, man, he must have been some awesome guy. She said, I'm never going to replace him. I think that's how Becky looks at me. I'll never replace him. He's one of a kind. Boy, does he get on my nerves. But he's one of a kind. I'd never replace her. She could replace me. I'm replaceable. Not really. Nobody is. Right? Because everybody's unique. Amen? But this must have been some kind of guy. I've always said this. I'm convinced that if Becky would die before me, and if I would remarry, I couldn't even see myself remarrying and being with someone else. But, I mean, it does happen, right? But I am convinced that she would haunt me till the day I die. So I think it would probably be better off to just be like Anna and just be in church all the time and just serve the Lord. And then you won't have to worry about your spouse haunting you. But the Bible says she was a widow 84 years. She was a young woman when she got married, and she's a widow 84 years. So she's 90-something. She may be even close to 100 years old at this point. And notice what it says next about her. See, the promises of God produce expectation. It says she never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with fastings and prayers. I mean, this woman was serious about her walk. And she is seeking God. She's walking in the ways of God. She's not worried about finding another man. You know, it's like the woman at the well that Jesus confronted. You know, and y'all know the story. He says, woman, do you know who I am? If you knew who I am, I'd give you living water. She said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And, you know, so then they went on to converse, you know, and he began to just read her mail. And he told her, he said, because, you know, she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus told her, he said, you've had five husbands. And he said, the man that you have now is not your husband. He kind of really got her in a corner there. And then all of a sudden she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Boy, was he a prophet. So then the scripture says she went running into town. I like to just use, I know I've used it before, but she said, I found a man. And everybody in the village said, oh, no, not another one. After five husbands, you know, she's got a live-in boyfriend. Are y'all with me? But Jesus was wanting to bring her into expectancy. So here's this widow woman all this time, and she's worshiping. She's just in church. She's at every prayer meeting. She's at every service. I mean, she's just in church, in church, in church, in church. What a lesson to learn. I want to be like Anna. Amen. I want to be in the presence of God all the time. I want to be around the house of God. So then it goes on and says, at the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up. She broke into an anthem of praise to God. I mean, this woman was something else. She talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freedom of Jerusalem. The promises of God produce expectation. Simeon got the Old Testament prophecy. Anna got the Old Testament prophecy. And they were living it. He's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. He's going to show up. I don't know what he's going to look like, but he's coming. I don't know how I'm going to recognize him, but I know he's coming. They were living in expectation because they understood the promise. And the promises of God, my friends, produce expectation. Don't give up believing God for your husband or your wife. Don't give up believing God for your family. Don't give up believing God for your children. That God might not be on their radar right now, but it's not over yet. Come on, somebody. It's not over yet. It's not over until God says it's over. The devil don't say when it's over. Come on, somebody. Amen. Keep believing. The promises of God in him are yes and amen. I'm going to keep trusting, keep believing, keep praying, keep seeking. And I'm going to turn my attention to the Word of God. I'm not going to look at what's going on. I mean, if you look at what's going on, I mean, the news is bad. It's just bad, 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 bad. But thank God I can go to this Word and I find good news. Because that's what the gospel means. The Word means good news. News. Hallelujah. And I could find the promises of God. Thank God for his promises. And you know the awesome thing about his promises is that this is the third thing. The promises of God indicate the nature of who he is, his grace and his faithfulness. Because how many of you know there's times when we may fail? Hello, somebody. There's times when we may not be faithful. We may not do what we know to do. Do what we should do. As times we mess up, thank God that his grace and faithfulness is not based upon our fickle human nature. The promises of God are based in the very nature of who he is. And that's why the scripture says that he is a God of grace. That's why the scripture says that he is faithful to every generation. Didn't we just sing that today? About the faithfulness of God? Wasn't that song really about when you don't see the breakthrough, but you just keep trusting, you keep believing, you keep standing strong and believing God and trusting God? Because we know that he is a God of grace and he's a God of faithfulness. And I want to give you this verse in Galatians chapter 3, reading it in the Amplified Bible, Galatians 3:29. This is a great word. I want to give you the context. I'll begin in verse 26. He says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Through faith. It's totally, completely by faith. "For as many of you as we're baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, have put on, clothe yourselves with Christ." He says, "There is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." He's talking about a spiritual realm. He's talking about that we are spiritual beings connected to Jesus Christ, who is called the first fruits of the resurrection. So because of that connection, he says that we have been baptized into union with him, into communion with him. We are connected to the anointing that is upon him. We are clothed with everything that he is. Amen. Because it's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God that I am clothed with Christ. Every time I fail, every time I mess up, every time I drop the ball, God looks beyond that and he sees the perfection of his only begotten Son. And that's what is accepted. That's what pleases him. Amen? That's what grace is. See, grace gives you what you really don't deserve. It gives you what you can't ever earn. Thank God that Christ is the seed of Abraham. Thank God that Christ is the life-giving spirit. Jesus comes to regenerate the heart of people. And he causes us, he brings us into all the blessings of God. And the seed of Abraham is first Christ and then the body of Christ. And that's why I want to draw your attention. I didn't have this on the sermon notes, but I want to go there anyway. Book of Genesis chapter 12. This is when God calls Abram. And he says, he gives him a tremendous promise. Because he said, I'm going to make out of you a great nation. So it says the Lord spoke to Abram. And he said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Man, do you realize how powerful that is? When God says, I will bless you.
Yes.
Yes. A state of blessedness. Great hymns of the faith were offered from truths like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a... Help me to stay on tune. Y'all ain't giving me no help. Everybody gong me up here. Sometimes I can hit it on tune. Sometimes it's been so long since I've sang those. How about this one? No, I better leave that one alone too. I might get brave before it's all over here today. But all these great expressions of the faith have come from revelation of God's word. You know, these great songs, these great classic hymns. Great is thy faithfulness. I mean, that's a classic in hymn books. You know, great is thy faithfulness. All the promises in the book are mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And God said to Abram, I will make you a great nation. Now, what did we just read? That we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. So he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, how many of you know, once Abram received that word, I believe there was a little authority in his step. There was a little expectation that was beginning to operate. Amen? Because he had a promise of God. Hallelujah. The promises of God, they are rooted in his grace and his faithfulness. See, spiritual seed, it simply means that we are recipients of God's blessing and we are the instrument through whom blessings flow. My friend, get that in your spirit. God wants to bless you. And he wants to use you to bless others. Hallelujah. To impact others. There are some people that are living lives with absolutely no impact. We call them high maintenance and low impact. I believe our churches are loaded with people like that. High maintenance, low impact. God doesn't want us to be high maintenance and low impact, because the promise is, as recipients of blessing, that the blessings are to flow through us. So when we read this, and if you go to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, if you trace the lineage of Christ in Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, it goes all the way back to our good friend Abraham. All the way back. All right, so the real nitty-gritty of this is that God was saying, I'm going to bring forth a nation. And that nation is going to be Israel. And I'm going to bring forth a people. And that people is going to be the Jewish race. the Israelites of the Old Testament. And out of that nation, and out of that people, I'm going to bring forth a seed. And his name is Jesus Christ. And his seed will produce many other seeds. And all of the favor is going to be on him. All of my anointing is going to be on him. All of my power is going to be on him. All of my benefits are going to be upon him. That's why I believe David got a revelation when he said, I was young, but now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed out begging for bread. Why? Because he understood the principle of the seed. And he was part of that seed because David is also in that lineage. And then when Jesus confronts the religious people, what were they touting? Oh, we don't need you. We're the seed of Abraham. Oh, they missed it. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They totally missed it. They were blind. They missed it. And they wanted to, then they got him killed, had him crucified. But it was all predetermined by the foreknowledge of God to take place because God was working out a promise based upon grace and faithfulness because the vision was that in Christ, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tribe, out of every tongue is going to come a people. And they will be called the family of God. That's what's so awesome about church. We are the family of God. We may not be blood relatives, but we are blood relatives. We may not be natural blood relatives, but we are supernatural blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. That he makes out one people. And they are the family of God. The promises of God. Let me move on. Here's the fourth thing. Almost finished. This is a powerful one. You got to get this one right here. See, because promise produces expectation for receiving. 1 John, 1 Epistle of John, chapter 3, Amplified Bible. I want you to get this because I believe here is why a lot of people don't really live in expectancy. I wish I had time to talk about developing and nurturing the law of expectation. Maybe I can hit that a little bit next week. Hallelujah. I love to preach the word. I love to preach the gospel. I hear about ministers taking sabbaticals. I was like, what's that? Why would I take a sabbatical from something that I love? Would I take a sabbatical from my wife? Becky, I just want you to know, I need a sabbatical. And for the next month, you are on your own, babe. But I want you to know, I deeply love you. And I'll be thinking about you. And I might even pick up my cell phone, just like Doug Heffernan on King of Queens, when he calls his wife and he says, I'm thinking of you. Would you take a sabbatical from your wife? Would you take a sabbatical from your job? No, because you like to get paid and you want to eat. I just have to be honest. I don't understand that. I just don't understand it. I mean, if I'm out of the pulpit, man, I was out of the pulpit last week. And that's why today, man, I'm ready to roll. You know, I mean, everybody needs a break, and, you know, I like vacation, but man, I have ministers taking all, and I guess different strokes for different folks. God bless them. I don't know, but man, a month or 2 months, say what? Man, I love the word of God. There is joy in preaching the gospel. Man, I love to get under the anointing of God. The anointing of God begins to flow. That's why I get so fired up, and sometimes it's hard for me to do these multiple service things because there's a time limitation, and I'm just getting rolling sometimes when it's time to quit. Sort of like the saints' season sometimes. You know, sometimes they just they sluggish, and you know, and then they wait till the fourth quarter, and then they finally kick in. But sometimes it's too late, right? But not this year. 16-game winning streak. Blow out every game. No-call experience. All the way to the Super Bowl. Shall they roll? And then I woke up out of that dream. I knew it was too good to be true. Let me stop my foolishness. Check this out. 1 John chapter 3. This is so awesome. And like I said, this is where a lot of people miss it. He says, and we receive from him whatever we ask. Now just let that soak in. We receive from him whatever we ask. But then you got to read the fine print. You ever heard those car commercials? They're advertised, you know, you can get in this vehicle $199 a month. And then on the radio, it's still going, but you got to get it right away by July 31st, new tax and license, but you got to have down payment. Y'all with me? Now, how could anybody understand that? That's the fine print. So when you get in there, I had a guy years ago, he said, Pastor, I bought me a new truck. I said, great, let's celebrate. We should always thank God for what he blesses us with, right? So he showed me his new truck, and then he had this truck for a while, and then, you know, later on down the road, he came and he said, Pastor, he said, they telling me I have a balloon note at the end of this deal. I was like, brother, you signed the lease. He thought he bought the truck. You got to read the fine print, right? You got to read the fine print. Look at what the fine print says. He says, we receive from him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey his orders, observe his suggestions, injunctions, follow his plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. Habitually practice. Let's get this right. All right, we receive from him whatever we ask. We're talking about the fulfillment of the promise, but we are watchfully obeying his orders. We are observing his suggestions and his injunctions. We are following his plan. How many times do we do what we want to do? We go where we want to go. We decide what we want, and we never think about consulting God. Oh, I'm preaching now. And then we get in all these circumstances and predicaments, and we wonder, Lord, how did I get here? And I think the Lord just looks down and says, I had nothing to do with it. But the fine print. See, that's why I believe so many people, they're walking in the wrong direction. And the Lord's walking behind them. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. That's why I love the definition of the word repent. Because the word repent, it means to change one's mind and to change one's direction. And that's why a lot of people, they're going their own way, doing their own thing, doing what they want to do, going where they want to go, participate what they want to participate in. And God's trying to bring them into a position of fulfilling promise. Blessing, 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 blessing. I can't tell you how much. I don't even have the words to adequately describe how much God wants to bless you. I mean just bless you beyond your wildest imagination with his will, his plan, and his purpose. But sometimes we can't receive because we're going the wrong way. See, that's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. He goes to the father and he said, I want you to give me my portion, Pop. I want my goods. And he gave him his inheritance. So the Bible says that he went out. I love the way that the scripture describes this. Because one of the translations says he went out and he wasted his money with loose women. Loose women.
Those must have been gold diggers. Because once the goods ran out, when he's in the pig pen, I didn't see he had any girls. All the girlfriends were gone. Right? Well, you can't pay my light bill? Well, get out of here, you old fool. And then he finds himself in the pig pen. But he'd already squandered the inheritance. He was going the wrong direction. God wanted to bless him and bless him and bless him and bless him and bless him. But he's going the wrong direction. Until one day, I love what the King James Bible says, he came to himself. You know what really happened? All of a sudden, he's, you know, and pigs, you couldn't eat, Jews couldn't eat pork. So I'm glad I wasn't a Jew, man. I love bacon. I'm so glad God's word released those restrictions. Everything is now to be received. Pastor Scott Hinkle, Evangelist Scott Hinkle, good friend of ours, preaches here. Leads the Mardi Gras thing every year. And, you know, he's a Jew. And I remember going into a seafood restaurant. I said, do you eat shrimp? He says, man, I love shrimp. He said, I've been liberated. I said, well, praise God. We'll order some bacon on top. Bacon-wrapped shrimp. You ain't lived till you had a bacon-wrapped shrimp. And he ate all that stuff, you know, free from those restrictions. You know, so that prodigal son, you know, he's in there, you know, with the pigs, the bacon. And all of a sudden he comes to himself. He had one of those, I believe whoever was there with him, whoever he was working under, the scripture doesn't say this, so I'm just embellishing a little bit. But I wonder if he just kind of looked at his boss and said, do you know who I am? I believe he might have had one of those do you know who I am moments. You know, I've kind of used that in the illustration when people get pulled over for speeding. And then they might be politicians or high-profile people. And then the officer comes up and immediately they'll say, do you know who I am? Now, anybody in law enforcement will tell you, they don't care who you are. If you break the law, they're going to write you that ticket. And they hate to hear that do you know who I am thing. It's like, that law applies for all those people, but that don't apply to me. So I wonder if the prodigal son kind of had a moment like that, where he looked at his boss and he said, you know what? Do you know who I am? My father is wealthy. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he said this, he developed a plan. How many of you know when spiritual senses kick in, you develop a plan? And he said, I'm going to go back to my father. I don't even want to be restored to a position of authority. I just want to be like one of the hired servants. That's all he wanted. But when he gets back, what does the father do? He said, all of that is nonsense. You're my son. Kill the fatted calf. We about to have a party. Celebrate good times. Come on. Are y'all with me? He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his hand. It's time to have a party. This my son was lost and now he's found. Hallelujah. What did he do when he changed direction? He stepped back, oh my God, into a position of favor and blessing and anointing and power and provision and inheritance and all of those things that God had for his life. And God had them for him all along. But he couldn't receive it. Why? Because he wasn't going the right direction. He wasn't watching his orders, observing his suggestions and injunctions, and following his plan. And whenever you don't follow his plan, you can wake up and all of a sudden realize this is not a good place. And I pray that those that are in those places today will wake up and realize, I can go back. I can go back. I declare every backslider that's been gathered around these altars is going to come back. I believe they're going to hit these altars even before the altar call is given. I declare that they're going to be so convicted. And they're going to be driven to the altar, driven to their knees, driven to find repositioning in God. Hallelujah. To get into a position of a fulfillment, living in expectation. See, the thing is, when you begin to walk it out, when you begin to obey His word, all of a sudden you begin to live expectantly. You are believing and you are expecting to receive. Hallelujah. And here's the last and final thing. See, because I want to walk in spiritual expectation. I love this verse in Genesis 13, 14. And this is your word today. This is your verse. I'll leave you with this incredible statement because I believe this is exactly what we must do. He says, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. So two things must happen. You have to look up. That's why the psalmist said, I'll look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I love Psalms 27, 1. I will not fear. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. When you begin to walk that out and you step into authority, when you learn how to pray like Anna prayed and Luke 2 and Simeon and Luke 2, you're going to begin to live with some expectation. And what do we read in 1 John 3:22? He said, when you learn how to pray and follow the orders, supernatural things will happen in your life. Hallelujah. I want to step into it of what God has for me. You may be believing and believing and believing and believing, and you haven't seen the breakthrough. But my friends, I am here to tell you, don't give up. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And that's why it says, lift up your eyes now. I'm looking up. We just did the prophecy series. What did Jesus say? When all these things happen, He said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh.